It's Beemaz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
And Beemaz and Beamer back here with you on WBEN on a Tuesday morning as we're still trying to kind of sort through the events of the weekend and bring you through it as well. Obviously, taking your calls and comments and almost continuing the conversation from yesterday, really. What can you say? How are ways that you're looking to help? What are the ways that you're talking about it? 803-0930. You can give us a call or send us a text on the Volkswagen Orchard Park text board. President is arriving. He will be arriving in Buffalo within the hour, probably just before 10 o'clock or so. I think a couple minutes late in taking off in Air Force One. So just before 10 o'clock or so, we'll be bringing you the scenes live here on WBEN. He'll be meeting with some of the grieving families before giving some remarks later on this afternoon at about 1 o'clock, which, again, you'll be able to hear live on WBEN. Joe, it's, you know, for a position that over the last 6 or 7 years has just become so polarizing, so I don't want to say overly politicized because it is it's always a politician who holds it.
Right.
It's always like that, but it has become very polarizing. Whoever the president has been over the last 6 years or so, where we've just kind of taken this turn into, everybody yelling at each other over everything.
Yeah.
I think this is a little bit of a sobering reminder about the job of the head of state and the power that that office can hold and how it can be used as a way to try to bring America together. And that's part of the visit here in Western New York. It's a show from the nation's highest office that the nation is behind you in a moment of tragedy. And I hope that's how everybody's taking it in today. And I think it's a really important thing to, even as we become so polarized in everything else that revolves around not just the White House, but everywhere, the Supreme Court now over the last couple of weeks, right, Everything in Washington. I do find it relieving that we're still able to do this, that we're still able to have this type of event to show. Obviously hitting home because it's right here, but to show people who are directly impacted that the nation's behind you.
Yeah, this isn't a day to play politics, right, Brian? I think that's a way to put it. The president is here. There was a tragedy here. The president is coming as the leader of the country to try to bring the community together. And again, like you said, to say the nation is behind you. I know it's rare in 2022 to say this, but this is not the day to play politics. This is about the president, the office that that holds, like you said, the president coming to Buffalo to say, hey, America, regardless of party, America is with you. And that's what this is all about. We are Americans. We are Western New Yorkers. We are grieving as a community. The president is here to put the support of the country in Buffalo.
It's one of the great powers of that office.
Yes.
To be able to do that, yep. to be able to play that role of head of state, of somebody who can come and deliver that message. That's what's going to happen today, about a half hour from now, expecting the president to land at the airport here in Western New York to visit the site, to meet with families, and to deliver some remarks here early this afternoon. Again, when that begins, you'll hear it live here on WBEN. Joe, we continue to talk about what happened, and there's really a couple of aspects to the story. And we brought you both of them this morning. On the one hand, you have the continued grief. You have the stories, horrifying, that come out of the event itself. And then you have the story of trying to figure out what led up to this. Was there a reason of trying to put some sort of reasoning behind why this happened? And, you know, there's a few of the obvious reasons, right? I mean, racism, you know, there, I mean, it could stop there for a lot of people and say, well, that is the reason. For people investigating, it's going to go further than that. And the stories that we're seeing, it goes further than that. Okay, racism. Why racism? How racism? And from what we're seeing, this is something that developed online in large part, is what it seems. And this is the thing that I think it's difficult for a lot of people. We took a few texts on this, Joe, yesterday, mm-hmm. where people said, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, saying that, okay, well, hate starts at home. How, you know, what type of household did he live in? You know, what was going on in that house that the people in the house should be in somewhat responsible? And that totally makes sense. But then there's this other part that online radicalization can now happen to so many young people that were people in the house aware. We spoke about this yesterday with Dr. Cummings from ECMC and the University of Buffalo about how big of a problem it is that more and more people are online, not interacting. You know, it's what we talked about with Darius Pridgen just a little bit ago, right? Where can a person be radicalized if they're actually meeting people face to face, if they're talking to people in their community, if they're speaking with people of all ethnicities,
right,
of all races, of every single walk of life? Here's what Dr. Cummings had to say about that, the online presence.
It's a huge problem, and of course it was compounded 100-fold with COVID. Right? I mean, we talked numerous times about the importance for people to be in school, not because they're learning to read and write, but because that's where we have our, especially as kids, that's where our social connections are. That's where we learn how to be, you know, teenagers and young adults. That's where we practice in a relatively, not completely, but relatively safe environment, where there's a little bit, you know, ability to screw up and not have dire consequences. When you take someone, I mean, when you look at people who have done this, again, very rarely are you going to find major, major psychiatric conditions that were noticeable by people. But you'll see people who are socially isolated. You'll see people who are disenfranchised. You'll see people who are either victimized or have the perception that they're being victimized. And when you get whether we're talking about radicalization in a terrorist group from overseas or right here in our backyard, those are the folks who are most vulnerable to that. And certainly, again, I know nothing about the individual any more than anyone else. And, you know, a decade ago, I might have been one of the people treating him, but that's, you know, not in my purview anymore. When you look at many of these cases, it is just that. And so now, you know, you have COVID and everything else, and, you know, that just got magnified because we all became disconnected in many ways. And for our most vulnerable people, most vulnerable for mental illness, most vulnerable for being, you know, kind of indoctrinated into this kind of world of hate, you know, there's reverberations of the amount of social isolation that we've had in the last 2 years that will go on for a very, very long time, well after we start saying the word COVID.
Michael, thank you so much.
Michael Cummings. Yesterday. And Joe, that part there about and magnified over the last 2 years,
yep,
which is what we're learning potentially happened to this person, where you take somebody who's already maybe a little socially isolated and you strip any of that social interaction they have,
yeah,
and then they instead tunnel all their energy into a world of hate online. And I wonder, it would seem to reason that those people who sent us messages yesterday, right? You know, of course, the people in the household would know what's happening. In 2022, is that the case?
I don't think it's always the case, Brian. And we do see, and, you know, we've done shows about how, you know, how dangerous it can be to just stare at a phone, stare at your computer all day. And this, we're seeing, I mean, this guy was radicalized by just, you know, stuff they were reading online. Brian, and I will say, in 2022, it's very easy to have something going on that you don't realize around the house. I do point to this, however. This individual was taken aside after threats in a high school and put into a mental evaluation. So, I don't know. This is just how I'm viewing it from the outside on the information I have. You would think that there was something known, or at least a hint of something, in the house. But to your point,
that's right.
But to your point, it's obviously very easy to have all this stuff on your computer and not communicate that with anyone in your house. That's in 2022. That's very easy to do.
I just think it is a time to take a look at what's going on in our own lives.
Yeah, well, great point.
And I think part of that is, instead of the I think knee-jerk response of how could you let that happen, how could people close to him not know, and Joe, what you're saying is right with obviously what happened that we've learned last June. I mean, he made some sort of threat before. I mean, this should have been on the radar,
right?
I apparently was gifted a gun. I don't know when the timeline of that is, as opposed to when that threat was made, but obviously those two things don't add up to being a household who's thinking on any, you know, right, spectrum that we're used to. But just kind of in our own lives, with what's going on with your kids, with the people in your house, when you see somebody in your household who is nose deep in their phone on a computer, do we really know? Do we have a good idea of what's going on, right, inside of our own house? Do we have a good idea of what that person's doing? Are they working? They could be. Are they, you know, playing a game? Are they on message boards? And if they are, what's on those message boards?
Right.
And, you know, even all of that combined, are they spending so much time looking into a screen and not interacting with people on a face-to-face level that you kind of forget to treat people like people?
Yeah.
Because this doesn't happen with somebody who has a basic human level of empathy, of social interaction. You know, we said it yesterday, it's why so many people point to mental illness. It is our way of understanding it. But I just believe so truly that people who talk to others, who are surrounded by all different sorts of people, do not go and commit crimes of hate like this.
Right, right. And you know, it's, we always say this, check in, right? I mean, how, if you see someone and they've become more socially isolated, right? You don't know what they're digging through, right? As Brian said, message boards, what does that lead to? How about, you know, if someone had just checked in on this guy, if they said, you know, what are you doing? What are you researching? What are you up to? And just checking in. And I'm also interested about the cues that could have been given on social media. And did someone just scroll past that? Without, I don't, you know, asking questions, reporting it, you know, the old say something, see something, say something. Like you said, Brian, it does show us that we need to be more cautious of those around us. And again, if someone's become socially isolated, or someone, as you said, is deep into their computer or their phone for hours and hours, check in. Hey, what are you doing over there? What's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, ask them to bring their head up from the screen for a second and have a conversation, because I agree with you, Brian. People who are having conversations, people who are part of society, right? They don't do this.
How often does that happen? And it's that part of it, right, is not like anything new. You know, bring your head out of the clouds. Bring your head off the stream. I mean, a teenager locking himself in his room for hours on end, you know, maybe they were on the computer just watching TV, playing a video game or something. That's nothing new.
Right.
What's new is what is on the other side of that screen.
What they have access to.
What's new is this unbelievable depth of content online that anybody has access to. And the we've all heard of, you know, oh, I fell down the YouTube rabbit hole, right? You know, I'm watching videos of whales, you know, jump out of the water or something like right. that. Well, just think of that. And now you can easily fall into a rabbit hole of extreme ideology.
A very dangerous rabbit hole.
A rabbit hole of racism. A rabbit hole of, you know, anything else like that. And now it's even more important than it was, say, 20 years ago to do exactly what you said, right?
Yep.
To check in on people, to pay attention to what exactly they're looking at, to what they're doing. You know, if somebody's locked in their room all day playing NHL video game, you know, it's concerning on a level.
Right.
But it's not at the level that it is right now. I mean, it's a different world right now. And these are the kind of things that you end up with.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that we have so many of these attacks, that this happens over and over again, more recently in the past few years, when the depth of the internet has grown exponentially. And that's all I keep coming back to is, you know, every time we're talking to, whether it was Ulysses Wingo, Darius Pridgen this morning, talking to Eva Doyle about the conversation she has with people. And, you know, I'm thinking, and she is very passionate about who is showing up for these conversations, about the power of what she's talking about with people. And the only thing going through my head is that it's great, but the people showing up for these conversations
are not the ones going down these rabbit holes.
Are not the ones that you have to. People are showing up to these conversations because they care. We need to find people who are not showing up to meet people face to face and figure out a way to reverse that trend. Because when you meet people face to face, when you are an active part in your community, especially here in Buffalo, you don't end up hating anybody. You don't end up doing this sort of thing.
There is a true power of conversation and a true power of reaching out and talking with people. And I've said this so many times. It is so important to have conversations with many different people of many different backgrounds and opinions. That it is so important to do that. And again, if someone is just buried in their computer, buried in their phone, have a conversation with them. What are you doing, right? And hold that conversation. Don't just check in. Have a conversation. I think it's so important.
We are bringing you much more on the president's visit to Buffalo. Air Force One expected to land here within the next half hour. Our Max Ferry is at the scene at the airport. Our Tim Wenger is down at the scene on Jefferson Avenue where the president is expected to visit, and later on we'll be bringing you his remarks from another place in Buffalo. All when we come back, B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Back here on WBEN, Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer, as the president lands in Buffalo. Our Max Ferry is down at the airport as Air Force One comes in. Max, what are you seeing right now?
Well, the Air Force One has landed in Buffalo. It arrived about maybe 7 or 8 minutes ago. I could see the president stepping out of the Air Force One right now, or he is about to, where he's going to come down the steps with the First Lady. Security is tight around here. We have the state troopers and the Erie County, along as two snipers up on the top deck here. I'm right at the tarmac. And he's going to come down soon and get ready to address the press.
All right, Max, we'll be checking in with you throughout as he is stationed at the airport. Air Force One lands. I mean, always a sight to behold in Western New York when that plane comes down onto the tarmac, the stairs being secured right now, and getting ready for the President and First Lady to make their way into Buffalo. They'll meet with some of the families directly impacted by Saturday's shooting before giving some remarks later on. Our Tim Wenger is situated on Jefferson Avenue where the President will be. We'll also hear from Brayton Wilson later in the day, who will be following along as the President makes their remarks. We see the contingent with Governor Kathy Hochul and others heading out to now the tarmac near the stairs at Air Force One, getting ready to greet the President. You know, Max, I see the governor there. Does it look like it's a group of people going to greet the President as he is about to walk out?
Oh, yes. There are multiple vehicles out and a huge group of people ready to meet the President. He's set this up on any time now.
All right, Max. Joe, I mean, you know, seeing something like this, it never gets old to, you know, have that visit here in Western New York.
No, it's very, as we said at the opening of the show, Brian, very symbolic to see Air Force One again, a day to put politics aside and you know, recognize the power of the office, what the office represents. And again, what this visit represents, as we will see President Biden walk down those stairs. And as you said, Governor Kathy Hochul's here. I have to believe that Mayor Byron Brown will be there and members of Congress and the State Assembly.
It represents the nation being behind,
yes.
Not just the families who he's going to meet with later on today, but being behind the community, the nation being behind us here in Buffalo, that, you know, they're there, that they care. And it's something that's much needed. And that head of state role is what the President is doing now as we see him walk out of Air Force One. Max, you see the President now.
Yes, I do. He is about maybe 20, 25 yards from me, Joe and Jill. They are stepping out and reaching the bottom of the stairs now, addressing Governor Hochul and Mayor Byron Brown.
All right, Max, thank you. We'll head back to you if we see anything else there.
Max
at the airport, Max Ferry from WBEN, a long embrace with the governor from the President. As Max mentioned, the mayor also there to greet the President as Air Force One touches down, the First Lady as well. From here, they will be heading to Jefferson Avenue. I see Senator Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand also getting off of Air Force One, Congressman Higgins as well, stepping down the steps of the plane to greet the governor and the mayor as the President arrives in Buffalo.
And the President will leave the airport, head down to the scene to meet with the families of the victims and then address the media. Our Tim Wenger will be along with him. Tim joins us now. Tim, what are we expecting the President's next move to be?
Joe, good morning. That entire entourage of folks will make their way down here to the area immediately in front of Tops. That's where Jefferson Avenue, of course, is completely closed off at the moment. And this is where the President, Dr. Biden, and all of the other dignitaries pay their respects at the numerous memorials that are set up directly across from, in front of, adjacent to the Tops gets here on Jefferson Avenue. So a sea of media waits, unfortunately, just due to security calls. There really are no community members that have been allowed to be in the vicinity. But this is really a media slash press event, you know, to gather the images and the anything that any of these folks, including the President, might have to say. But, you know, we expected the possibility of rain today. It's a blue sky, breezy as you.
And
so Breezy had knocked Tim off the air, and we'll be checking in with him throughout the morning here on WBEN. He's outside of the Tops on Jefferson Avenue, where the president is expected to go to straight from the tarmac.
And as Tim said, lots of media there, Brian, and that's the kind of thing that will happen when there's lots of media signals going out. But as Tim said, he will be there with the people we mentioned on Air Force One with them, Governor Kathy Hochul and Mayor Byron Brown as well, to meet with the victims' families. And then again, we'll address the media right around 1 o'clock.
Should point out, although you might already realize it, if you're in that area or planning to be in the area around the 33, around the airport, road closures, watch out, traffic jam in a time where you might not expect it at this time of day because of the presidential motorcade. That's, if not already happening, will be happening in the very near future as the president begins to make his way to that car in the motorcade. You see the Secret Service right now standing outside of it. The president meeting with the Erie County Sheriff, members of the State Trooper's Office, before stepping inside that vehicle, which they're doing right now, rounding the doors. The First Lady, along with the governor, and as we mentioned, both senators from New York, Congressman Brian Higgins, on board, as the president prepares to pay his respects, greet the families who are grieving here in Western New York, and will take off. It'll be here for much of the morning and early afternoon before leaving at some time around 3 or 4, though we heard earlier this morning we're expecting that maybe to be later. He's meeting with the families of people who lost their lives on Saturday that will likely go much longer than what we have for any sort of schedule here right now.
And as Brian mentioned, the traffic closures, that those stay closed while the president is here. As someone who was stuck in traffic last time, presidential visit, just realize if you're thinking, that's not me, I'm not taking those routes, well, the cars will overflow onto the secondary routes. So, you know, if you have to be somewhere, just plan some time is all I'm saying, because those roads will be closed for much of the morning and early afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Air Force One, the presidential motorcade, it's not every day you see it here in Western New York. Certainly not the circumstance that we want to see it back here. But it is quite an event when it all happens, as we see from all the media, everybody who is around some of these areas where the president's expected later on today. The president will give his message, Joe. I thought, you know, in the tone of the visit today, I thought something very similar out of the White House earlier this morning, where, I mean, they were presented with the opportunity to, you know, call out individual media members, to go on the attack. But the new White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, pretty much declined to do so. I thought it was a reserved statement from her on behalf of the president yesterday.
Any one person, right, doesn't matter who they are, who spews this type of hate, hatred, we're going to call out. We're going to condemn that. I'm not going to speak or call out any individual names. I'm saying that this is something that we need to call out.
That's the White House press secretary yesterday when asked about what happened in Buffalo, asked about the president's upcoming visit. And we'll see later on what the tone of the president is.
Right.
Given the opportunity yesterday, I think especially important before this visit actually happens, before meeting with these families, to kind of keep it like that, keep it reserved. And what we started off this show talking about, right? That role of head of state, consoler in chief, that you have to play sometimes. That's very important.
Yeah, it really. It's what we should hear this afternoon is a speech about coming together, a speech about grieving, and again, as Brian and I have both said, making that statement that the nation is grieving along with Western New York and is here for Western New York.
And, you know, still at a loss for words.
It's I'm right there with you, Brian. It's that thing, you know. Still feeling the pain, and you hear the phone calls today. You heard the people that we talked to, and you can still hear it in their voices. You hear the accounts of people that were in the store, and it's so tragic, and it does leave you at a loss for words, and it really it's just that rush of emotion that I talked about on Saturday night, that rush of pain and some anger mixed in.
And you can hear it kind of coming in. We spoke with Eva Doyle earlier this morning, and Brenda, who called us yesterday, who lost her cousin in that attack, where you, over a period of time, maybe you do so much talking, maybe it's like Darius Pridgen, like a Ulysses Wingo, like so many of the people we've talked to over the past couple of days, where you kind of talk and talk, and you do so much of it that you almost don't have time to reflect, and it doesn't hit you
right
until you maybe pause for a moment. And it sometimes hits you in the middle of talking, even though it's something that you've been saying for 48 plus hours. And we've heard that a couple times this morning, whether it was from Darius Pridgen, Eva Doyle, Brenda yesterday, who told us that, you know, she couldn't find any of the words. She started talking with us. And, you know, once you start that, I don't think she could stop. Right. And it was just this outpouring of everything on your mind. It almost comes out like a word soup. And then it all starts to kind of hit you at once, because you don't know what to say until you start rattling off things to say.
Yeah, until you start talking about it. And then, like you said, Brian, you start talking about it, and you get out what you've been thinking, what you've been feeling over the last 48 plus hours.
And I've come to a realization over the last couple of days. You know, so often people are asking why there isn't action taken. Some sort of action, some law passed, something done, right, within that community. And I think, you know, that's for other people to talk about. You know, in that community, you're still dealing with the grief of what happened.
Right.
You're still dealing with so many things before you even begin to search for some sort of answer. We talked with Ulysses Wingo this morning. He's still dealing with trying to help out people who are wondering where to pick up their prescriptions now, who are looking for food, who are grieving their neighbors, loved ones, friends, family. You're so absorbed in trying to do that at home that you're not starting to look for some greater answer, some sweeping law of on a federal or statewide scale that is going to help you, you know, in the future. You're trying to help your community right now, kind of get through this moment.
Yeah, and seeing the post of, you know, donate here, and the places that are collecting food, collecting donations to help the victim's family, to help the community, you know, those are all great, and I think those should be shared. But, you know, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Brian, you know what's not helping? You know what's not, what doesn't show that you're with the community or grieving with the community, is the finger pointing that we continue to see on social media, saying it's this fault and it's your fault and get the heck out of here. That's not helping anyone. Again, as I said with the president here, it's not a day for politics. But as we mentioned yesterday, I mean, all weekend and yesterday, what you see on social media, it's people wanting to play this blame game, wanting to play politics, wanting to point the finger. And if that is you, you're not grieving with the community. You're not standing with the community. You're not coming together. You're doing the exact opposite.
And all those questions are still, you know, to come. We tried to kind of look at that. This question of social media, the governor has brought up before. You know, what's the role of social media companies in what's on their platform, of who's to stop this? If these pages and pages of words written by a shooter were apparently posted online somewhere.
Right, available, right?
For days, or maybe even longer before the shooting even happened. Should somebody be held accountable? Who would have seen that? Who is responsible for trying to stop that, for raising the red flag, for taking it down? Is it easier to go after social media companies? Or is it easier to, as we were talking about in the last half hour, Joe, try and get people to further pay attention what's going on in their own home, to rewire people's minds to not be in that rabbit hole online? These are questions without easy answers. And, right. I think we're so used to watching this from a distance and speculating on all these things right away. The brain doesn't work like that when it happens in your own backyard.
No, it doesn't at all. As I said yesterday, we've seen this all around the country, but when it happens in your own backyard, it is so much more real, and it really does. It leaves you with, as we've been saying, it leaves you speechless and with a lot of questions, Brian.
So the plan today, we know the president has landed Air Force One at the Buffalo Airport. He is on his way to pay respects at the site of that shooting on Saturday on Jefferson Avenue. We'll be there live and bringing you coverage. You'll hear our Tim Wenger alongside David Bellavia as that happens. The president will meet with families of those who lost loved ones and then give remarks. Those remarks you'll hear live here on WBEN. We're expecting them a little after 1 o'clock. At some point between 1 and 2, maybe, for those remarks from the president. But it's all here. It's all live as we continue our coverage and continue to take your calls and thoughts, your words, after what happened here over the weekend in our city of Buffalo. But all of that is coming up after the news with Randy, the presidential visit here in Buffalo. You're listening to B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.